Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
On the back with the Believe You Me podcast on a Friday morning. What's up, Anthony? Have you frozen? Oh, no. I thought, oh, my God, we're 3 seconds into it and it's frozen up.
No. What's going on? We are two of the most ridiculous people in the world. Our schedules are crazy. We are in the same hotel.
Yeah.
Doing this in separate rooms.
Different rooms, baby. I don't trust myself in the same room as you. We were supposed to do it yesterday. Anthony's flight got delayed, but then I also forgot a cable. I went up to his room 5 minutes ago to get the cable, which Anthony brought. Anthony's there in darkness. You looked like a vampire. It was completely blackout in the room. You're in your underpants. I'm like, you ain't going to be ready in 5 minutes. But here you are. What here a professional. My first time in Nashville, buddy. You been here before?
No, I came through here one time. I think I'm trying to remember who the main event was. It was Tim Kennedy versus somebody at a fight for the troops. So we stayed right in Nashville, but then we drove to the Fort Campbell in Kentucky. So that's the only time I've been here.
All right, right. Yeah, no, I went for a little walk yesterday to try and find a chicken sandwich. Everyone said Hattie B's. So I went and found Hattie B's. Dude, there's a lot of girls out here on like hen, what do you call them? Hen parties or bachelor parties. We call them hen parties in England. Dude, cowboy boots galore. Big groups of girls wasted, falling over. I'm like, this could be a fun place to hang out. Anyway.
The driver that drove me here said that they cannot stay in the bachelorette parties because that's all they wear is cowboy boots and cowboy hats.
Yeah.
And he said, nobody from Nashville wears that shit.
No, I bet they don't. I walked around the corner and that's all I could see, cowboy boots and hats and drunk girls falling over and stuff. I'm like, yeah, all right. Good place to come for a weekend if you're free and single and ready to mingle. Anyway, this weekend, should we just get straight into this Nate Diaz, Jake Paul fiasco?
Yeah.
Did you see what happened yesterday? So they had the press conference and then they get up on stage. They go to do, I don't know, their face off, whatever. They're talking all crap. Jake Paul is talking tons and tons and tons of crap to Diaz, like he's going to intimidate Nate Diaz. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's going to work. And then I think it all kicked off with the security, right? And was it one of Jake Paul's security doorman or security guards hit one of Diaz's guys? And then he's gone to the hospital.
Yeah, it looked like one of Jake Paul's security guys pushed one of Nate Diaz's. And then somebody started swinging and someone ended up in the hospital getting stitches. And Jake Paul said something like that the Diaz team reached out and said they were doing lawsuits and suing people. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
Nate Diaz doesn't seem like the type of guy that's going to get a whole bunch of lawyers involved.
I wouldn't have thought so. You might get your ass kicked after the event, Jake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might want to get your running shoes on like you did against Floyd Mayweather that time as well.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You remember that when he literally turned them around from Floyd Mayweather? Anyway, you must have seen it the other day when Nate Diaz, he was doing a face-to-face with Ariel Helwani, like a sit-down to promote the fight.
Yeah.
And then he starts looking around all bored. And then he just gets up and says, I'll be right back. And then just leaves.
What, do you go use the bathroom or something, I think?
No, he said, I'll be right back. And then he just leaves the building, gets in the car and drives off and just leaves Helwani and Jake Paul sitting on the stage. And I'm like, you know what, to be honest, that is next level trolling. It really is. That's how you say, I don't give a fuck about this shit show one little bit. I think Diaz is a little embarrassed by the whole thing, you know, because coming down from the UFC, fighting people like Conor McGregor, and now he's dealing with this circus of Jake Paul. I think, not embarrassed, maybe that's a strong word, but I think I'm not lowering myself to this and really getting invested and talking crap and all the rest of it. I'm just going to come here, I'm going to do my job, try and win the fight, and then we're done. I think that's his mentality.
Yeah, that's, I think that's a great way of looking at it. I never considered that. It probably does feel very dog and pony show and very silly to do all this media. It probably is weird to him that they're making such a big deal about it and it's Jake Paul.
Yeah.
It probably feels odd to him.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about going back to the UFC already. He said after this, he'd like to come back to the UFC. Obviously, there's fights with Conor McGregor. He's talking about wanting to fight for the championship and things like that. I don't know about that stuff, but there's certainly still some big fights for him. Let's just get into this then. Give me a prediction, because a lot of people are going to be watching this, you know, and I hope to God, I hope and I pray that Nate Diaz gets it done, because otherwise we've been here before with Anderson Silva, with Tyrone Woodley, kind of with Ben Askren. You know, I would hate for him to beat Nate Diaz, right, and be able to claim another UFC legend on his resume when the guy's almost 40 years old. Most of his career was fought at lightweight. He's not really a boxer, even though he has boxed for many, many years, like we all have. But how do you see it going down, Anthony? What's your thoughts on the fight?
Man, I do this every time with Jake Paul, but I think Nate's going to have some success. I think his style, he is long and rangy. I think he's going to smother Jake and just wrap him up. A lot of dirty boxing, a lot of clinching. And I think Jake probably wins the first 2, 3, 4 rounds. And I think there's a good opportunity for Nate Diaz to kind of take over after that and really use his volume and pressure. And because, I mean, we've seen it in the Tommy Fury fight. Like he's super athletic. He's got lots of power, but he's not overly technical. He's kind of just a one-shot sniper. It's hard to do when you're getting pushed back against the ropes the whole time. You got someone in your face constantly. So I think he'll land some shots early and take some rounds early because he is athletic and powerful. But I think Nate's going to take over 4, 5, 6, you know what I mean? And just exhaust Jake Paul.
That's how I see it. Yeah, no, same here. I mean, initially I was like, oh, well, Jake will win because he's bigger and he's younger and he's in his prime and he's had 7 pro boxing fights. But the more I think about it now, I mean, I just can't see Jake Paul knocking Diaz out cold. I would have said that about Tyrone Woodley and Ben Askren as well, to be fair. You know what I mean? But I have a hard time envisioning that in my mind. And when you look at the Tommy Fury fight, he can't pace himself. He looks, and that comes with experience. And I think, well, we know Diaz always comes in shape. The man's been running triathletes. He never has a problem going 5 rounds in the UFC. I think stamina, conditioning will play a big factor. I think Jake's going to go out there all excited, all wound up because Diaz has been playing with him and manipulating him mentally, doing the psychological warfare brilliantly, to be honest. I think he's going to try and knock him out. I think he's going to fail. I think he's going to run out of steam, and then Diaz is going to take over. Probably win via decision, and then they're all going to bitch about it and say it's all rigged and it's all crazy and how the judges got it wrong and all the rest of it. You know, I don't give a fuck which way it happens. As long as, even if it is a robbery, because they're saying that Jake Paul will retire after this. Well, that's what his manager's saying, and that's probably just some hype speak to get people invested and to watch the fight. This could be the last time you ever get to see Jake Paul box.
Who gives a fuck?
We're not talking Muhammad Ali. We're not talking Mike Tyson or Roy Jones Jr. here. We're talking the Disney boy, okay? So I don't think that ploy's going to work, but there we go. Nate Diaz, let's go on behalf of everyone at the UFC, Lionheart Incorporated, the Bisping household, everyone.
Everybody.
No man alive wants Jake Paul to pull this off. No man alive. Do we talk about something else? Harrington, come to the show, my brother.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Tell us, Brian, maybe you can tell us, or Harrington, what was it called? The Olympics? The rigged Olympics? The Special Olympics? What was you calling it?
The Enhanced Games.
Oh, the Enhanced Games.
Brian, I think you sent this through yesterday. There was a guy who plans on, he says that there's nothing wrong with athletes, you know, doing as much as concoctions as possible to make them the best athletes possible. And he wants to set up an Olympics style games called the Enhanced Games, where there will be absolutely no drug testing and performance enhancing drugs are encouraged.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this in fighting before. It was called Pride FC. They encouraged steroids. No, but they did, though. It was in the contracts. One got leaked kind of recently, didn't it, where it was like marijuana, cocaine, stuff like that, that will be tested. Performance-enhancing drugs, fill your boots. Nope. You know, so what are your thoughts on that? I mean, listen, if everyone has... I'm all for the pursuit of excellence, the human body, pushing yourself to the absolute limit. But I guess there is a special niche market, and if those people want to do that, I've got nothing against that. If everyone signs up for it, then, hey, we're all going to juice to the gills. Mm-hmm. We're all going to die of heart attacks by the time of 52. But we're going to do really good, and we're going to run 100 meters really, really fast. I mean, if they're all on board, fill your boots.
Yeah. If everyone's involved and everybody knows what's happening, I don't see any problem with it. It's not like, I mean, if they're fighting, I think that gets kind of weird when you get a bunch of enhanced athletes fighting. But if they're all enhanced and that's what they want to do, fuck them. I'll watch it, though. I would love to see just some super freak athletes doing some amazing shit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the part of the thing about sports that captures the imagination, though, is when you see somebody that you know isn't on steroids and it's just getting out of bed and pushing themselves and doing, mm-hmm. making the sacrifices and then achieving unbelievable things, sprinting. Out of all athletics, do you know which one always blows my mind? The high jump.
You know, yeah, me too. Those
people jumping up high as hell and over the top. Did you ever do any athletics at school, Anthony?
Yeah, I played football, a little bit of track.
Yeah. What did you, running?
Yeah, I was a sprinter. Not a very good
one. What about like shot put, discus, javelin, anything like that? The long jump?
No, not much of a jumper.
I was a bit of a decent long jumper. Back
were
in
you?
The day. I could jump a little bit.
I wonder... I wonder if like being enhanced would help you like with, I don't know, the pole vault.
Well, I'd say
that shit's crazy.
The pole vault looks fun. When I was a kid, I was like, you know what we need if we're running away from the cops? A pole vault, just over a wall. See you, buddy.
I always watch the
10-foot long pole.
I always watch the videos of those things breaking. Mm. There's like the compilation videos where they'll put 20 of them together where as soon as it hits the little thing and they start to bend and it just explodes and it's crazy.
No, it is. It is.
Those guys are nuts.
I guess the problem with the enhanced games, if that's what we're calling it, is, you know, athletes inspire children. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If everyone's on steroids, do you know what I mean? Then that's sending
not a great message.
It's not a great message, guys. This is what we're going to do. We're going to break records, but we're going to take loads and loads of drugs that are unhealthy for you. Because you see, don't you, a lot of bodybuilders passing away early. You know, there was one just recently. Did you ever follow? I think it was Joe Aesthetics. Did you ever see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever see? There's. God, now it's.
I mean, I'm not saying that was because of steroid use or whatever, but.
Right. But he passed away early.
One would think.
Well, professional wrestlers too, like the older generation of like professional wrestlers, like when they were all huge and jacked and, you know, before there was all the drug testing policies in the WWE, a lot of those guys died pretty young too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm no expert on the subject, far from it, but I think just like if it grows all your muscles, the heart is a muscle also.
It's right.
From what I've always been led to believe. But Harrington, yes, Harrington's going to jump in on the health and fitness conversation.
He knows.
Go on, Harrington. Come on.
I was gonna jump in with the new knowledge I have about the enhanced games, which is that they are going to eliminate all ball games and all team sports. So it's going to be all individual competitions. They are going to be focused on athletics, meaning track and field, aquatics, meaning, you know, swimming and stuff, gymnastics, strength. And there is a whole category for combat in the enhanced games.
Okay. Here's what we were going to do, because we haven't got too much time. I was actually segueing away from that right there, Harrington. So, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Just shut up. How about that? Just back
okay,
off.
One little point.
Stop driving enhanced, shit.
Enhanced gymnastics would be fucking insane.
We need an enhanced Believe You Me podcast with correct lighting and decent producers and maybe a co-host that doesn't talk out of his goddamn ass. All right, guys, I want to tell you about Kachava, which is one of our newest sponsors. And I am telling you, this supplement, this super blend of super foods and greens and proteins and everything that you need for your body is amazing. Listen, long gone are the days now where you have to go in and you got to have a protein powder, you got to have your super greens, you got to have your probiotics, your adaptogens, your antioxidants. Kachava has blended it all together in one. It gives you everything that your body craves and you will feel your absolute best. And the good thing is they are delicious. They are absolutely beautiful. It's creamy, smooth, and it comes in five delicious flavors. They've got the chocolate, the vanilla, the chai, the matcha, and the coconut acai. Listen, as I said, you know, before you had to have your protein. Well, this has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. And as I said, it's got the superfoods, it's got the greens, the proteins, the antioxidants, the adaptogens, and the probiotics. And let me tell you, you feel fantastic after this. I'm really noticing a difference in my recovery from lifting weights. It's really helping with the protein synthesis. You feel great afterwards. You are energized throughout the day. I'm going to the bathroom nice and regularly, and it looks good when it's coming out. Anyway, moving on from that because it's disgusting, but this stuff is fantastic. Get it all in one. Get all the goodness and all the vitamins, minerals, proteins that your body needs in one little scoop of Kachava, and you can get 10% off for a limited time. So right now, go to kachava.com, K-A-C-H-A-V-A, kachava.com/believe. You'll get 10% off your first order, kachava.com/believe. Should we talk about something we do know about, which is mixed martial arts?
Yes,
obviously,
sir.
The Nate Diaz thing going down this weekend. We all hope for the best there. But Corey Sandhagen versus Rob Font. That's why we're in Nashville. I was walking past the Bridgestone Arena yesterday. Big, massive mural, a massive picture of Rob Font and Corey Sandhagen. I thought, that's cool. That's amazing. It's an incredible fight, to be honest. Corey Sandhagen just continues to impress me more and more every time I speak with him, every time I watch him fight. I mean, he's a very, very measured, calculated human being. And coming into this fight, what did he say? He said, I'm a more modern mixed martial artist. Hold on, I wrote it down. I saw it yesterday. He said, I'm a more modern engineered weapon than Rob, and I would be very upset with myself if I lost to him.
Whoa, what did he say? He's a more... Bro,
that's my research.
You're
a prick, because you're going to get to say it on air before I do.
No, I'm going to say it today. No, I won't. I'll leave your line.
It's okay. He said it. It's his line. I'm a more modern engineered weapon.
I did see him say, though, that he would be disappointed in himself if he lost to Rob Font. Overall, this happens every single time where you see this, you look at these fight cards and there's not a whole lot of name value, not a bunch of stars that jump off the page at you. But then we sit in these hotel rooms and we dig into these fights, and like, you look at some of these matchups and they're just some of these, like Damon Jackson versus Billy Q, Jeremiah Wells, Carlson Harris. Like, there's some good fights. And then you cap it off with a Corey Sandhagen, Rob Font fight. I do think that people are counting Rob Font out versus Corey Sandhagen. I think they did the same thing when he was fighting Adrian Yanez, and we kind of seen how that went. I think it's going to be more competitive, but I do agree with Corey that he is a, however he said it, but he's a more well-rounded, more diverse, more, I don't know, creative mixed martial artist than Rob Font is. Rob kind of just does it one way. He's a great boxer. He fights well in the pocket. He fights good at long range. He's not a fantastic kicker, or maybe he is. He just doesn't do it a lot. Mm. You're not going to see Rob Font chasing takedowns and being a submission threat probably. And Corey's going to do all those things. His kicks are crazy and diverse. He's creative in his attacks. He will switch stances. I think he looked great in the TJ Dillashaw fight. Obviously looked great against, our friend Cheeto. It just looks like an uphill battle for Rob Font, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think stylistically on paper, when you look at it, you're absolutely right. And he's right. He is a more modern, shall we say, well-rounded fighter, where Rob does have this kind of a singular approach. And by singular, I'm talking about his boxing. Of course, he has other weapons. Of course, right. He does. But that's what he uses. Predominantly fights behind the jab. Very, very well. Got a beautiful jab on him. Who do you have winning the fight? Obviously, I can't make a prediction because that would be rude and ignorant, but you're literally leaving to the UFC desk to make predictions. So what are we saying, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with Corey. I think he's right. He's just the he has more weapons. I think that's what it comes down to. And I don't want to discredit Rob Font, because although he does have a singular approach, typically that singular approach is pretty damn good. And it works more times than not. So I like that he's coming off of a win over a guy like Adrian Yanez. I think that that brings a lot of, you know, you've been there. I've been there where we're the, sometimes you feel like you're the older veteran that's being led to slaughter to maybe hype up a younger guy that they think is going to do well. And you turn them away and it's a lot, there's a lot of confidence that comes with that. And I would have liked Rob to have a, I would much rather have seen this fight with Rob having a full training camp. All that said, for me to walk around in circles and say, I think Corey Sandhagen wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a fun fight either way. As I said, Sandhagen is incredible, but yeah. And it's going to be a great night fight as well. Jessica Andrade in the co-main event taking on Tatiana Suarez, who was just Tatiana Suarez. If she beats Jessica Andrade, that'll be three former champions that she's beaten. Yeah. Obviously, that's a big if. She beat Carla Esparza. Who was the other one she beat? Hold on. Carla Esparza.
She beat, I got it right here in front of me. She Esparza. Beat Carla Esparza, Alexa Grasso.
There it is. Submitted Grasso in the first round.
Submitted her 244 the first round.
2:44 Look at Anthony Smith with the notes.
Well, I mean, it literally says.
Yeah.
So I was looking through her record and I have a lot of respect for Amanda Bobby Cooper, who's now Amanda Bobby Brundage. But Mark Montoya told me that when she was still competing, that Amanda Cooper was the absolute toughest, baddest chick that he'd ever trained his entire career. And she has a finish over Amanda Cooper, Alexa Grasso, Carla Esparza, Nina Nunes, and Montana De La Rosa.
Yeah.
She is an absolute savage.
I'm going to say this. I'm not saying she wins this fight this weekend. Right, because I'm not making a prediction, but in her future, I see her being a two-weight division champion. I think Tatiana Suarez, her wrestling is utterly ridiculous. I mean, what she's been through her entire life. I think, wasn't she told that she'd never walk again, or was it cancer? She had an issue when she was younger.
Yeah, she had the neck thing.
That's right. Sure. Yeah.
That was recent, but I don't remember. I need to look this up because I want to talk about it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
But. Was it a knee injury she had or maybe it was a neck injury early that took her out of wrestling because she was going to wrestle on the world team and then A ended up finding cancer, correct?
I have the notes. It blew out the knee and had surgery. Oh, yeah. But yeah, then I think when they were looking into that, then they discovered cancer. I mean, the story, she's been through the hardships, the adversity. Yeah. Now here she is and she's, as I say, fighting a third former champion. And she's dropped down to 115 for this, whereas in the past she was at flyweight. You know, she made weight this morning, no problem. So that's why she has potential.
Big too. Like she's got a strong frame. She's one of those people you can look at and just you can just tell like that chick has got some serious horsepower behind her.
Yeah. And she's got a good personality as well. She's funny. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's marketable. You know what I'm saying? So. What is that? Thyroid cancer. Yeah, that's right. Derailed the dreams of the 2012 Olympics. Right then. Best of luck to everyone competing this weekend. George St. Pierre's trying to get in on my graft, as we say in the UK. He's calling out, no, not George, Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold trying to grapple George St. Pierre. Did you see this?
I didn't see it.
Did you not? No, because George is coming back and he's going to do the fight. Yeah. That's invitational. He asked me if I'd do it, and I said I would, but I'm not because I'm in Nashville, and then I'm going to be here, and then I'm going to be there. And it's like, you've got to train for something like that, and I don't have time because I can't even get time to do the podcast. But Luke Rockhold has threw his name in the hat as potential opposition for George St. Pierre and said he won't take it. I'm too big. What was the actual quote? Let's have a look. All right.
Well, I don't disagree with Luke. That doesn't sound like it's very fair.
If George St. Pierre wants to go, I would go with George in a heartbeat. But if he's smart, probably not. I'm too big and too good for him. Talking trash is not Luke's strong point, is it? He is a good grappler.
Not. He is a great grappler, but is he better than George St. Pierre? Bigger for sure.
Yeah, bigger.
Bigger for sure. But
it's a thinking man's game. It's a thinking man's game.
Gonna have to do a lot of thinking.
I think yesterday I was sitting there. I went to this little restaurant by myself last night, had a couple of appetizers. And I'm just sitting there and I'm scrolling Instagram as you do when you're by yourself. And I came across, I think it was on GSP's Instagram page, and it was like post training. No, and he was with John Danaher, the famous, very well respected jiu-jitsu coach. And then there was a picture of him somewhere else in a restaurant, and once again with the rash guard. And he never, he never, ever goes anywhere in the world without the rash guard on. And I'm like, I respect that. Do you know what I mean? He does not care what anyone says. He doesn't care if anyone has a little giggle like we are, out of respect. But still, I was like, do you know what? You got to respect that. He doesn't give a damn. He's happy. The man's happy in a rash guard. He's going to wear a rash guard to Ruth Chris. Okay?
100%.
You're going to serve him his steak. He's going to ask for it medium rare whilst wearing a rash guard.
with George St. Pierre. Like, if I was ever to go to dinner with George, I'd be dressed to the nines. Like, I'd be stressed out in my closet trying to figure out what to wear. Like, I can't make GSP look bad. I got to look nice. Yeah. He's like, no, rash guard. Don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You got to respect it. You're right. You're right.
You got to respect it.
And what do you say to a guy? Like, what, like, he's the most accomplished no-gi grappling coach on planet Earth. Like, what do you say to that? Like, okay, whatever. Wear a rash guard. You do what you want.
Yeah, he's clearly a mad scientist. Harrington, give us a story, please, my friend.
Okay, sorry. I was just trying to pull myself up while I was searching through stories here.
You were trying to pull yourself off.
Pull myself up.
Just don't do it on camera.
Jeez Louise.
Or do. Might be good views.
I mean, I know you have affection for Anthony, but geez, control yourself, please.
All right. Well, the one of the big things I saw circulating this week, Kelvin Gastelum is out of his bout at the UFC Noche event, is what they're calling the Mexican Independence Day card. Again, Shavkat, he had an injury during sparring. He posted the video. Shavkat responded saying, look, I was willing to come fight you on your home turf on Mexican Independence Day in Las Vegas. If you want this fight, you got to come to my place, come to Abu Dhabi, you know, in my hometown.
Yeah, but if the man's injured, if he's in, did he fracture his nose or something like that? So
yeah, he's cut real bad. I think his nose is broken.
Well, then the fight's off.
Did you see the video?
I saw the video, but I couldn't really decipher what happened.
It kind of looks like an asshole training partner. Like, who throws spinning elbows in sparring?
Oh, is that what it was? I never saw it properly.
Yeah, it looked like Kelvin was coming forward and the training partner just spun and he just ran right into an elbow. Like, I don't know who the training partner was, and I'm just going off of what I've seen, so maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but it looked to me like kind of a dickhead move, if I'm being honest.
Well, that is a dickhead move in sparring. Yeah. When someone's training for a high-level fight, then that is just ridiculous. And that's why as well. You know, I don't know how you find it, Anthony. And by the way, just to stay on topic, yeah, I don't think Shavkat's talking a bit of crap, whatever, fair enough. I understand the frustration. But if Kelvin's injured, he's injured. He's making his return to 170. I think he showed a lot of balls, for want of a better word, to take on Shavkat, who's undefeated and finished everybody. So, yeah, that would have been a great fight, but I'm sure they'll reschedule it. And if they do, Abu Dhabi would be great. Whenever I go anywhere, people are like, oh, do you want to come and spar? Certainly when I was fighting, do you want to come and spar? You want to come and train? But there's always assholes like that, and they want to make a name. They want to be seen in the gym, tapping you out. You know, when you're traveling, you get invited to a gym. Do you ever have that, Anthony, seeing as you're still one of the best in the world?
Yeah. Yeah, it happens all the time where you want to go out and you want to train with these different people. And because I've always believed that you can get knowledge anywhere. And I like to go out and I like to train at different places and just check out new styles, new move around with new people. But there's always one or two guys that it's like they want to test themselves. They want to see where they stand on, you know, in that spectrum. And so it's just like you end up fighting. And
yeah,
because I'm still competing, my ego won't allow me not to. So I just, but then I turn into be the asshole. That's what ends up happening is you get the dickhead that wants to turn up the volume on the sparring session, and then you give him a couple opportunities. Like, I always give warning shots. Someone starts going real hard with you and I'll give them like two hard shots back. And usually I go to the body. So I'll rip nasty body shots enough to where they're like, all right, most people a lot of times will say, ooh, maybe I was going a little hard. I'll back off a little bit. And then we go back to a normal spar. But then the real big assholes, then they turn up the volume, and then you have to beat the shit out of them. And then they're like, wow, Anthony Smith's kind of an asshole. Yes. He's going super hard. Like, I'll go as hard as you go. That's what I always say. People always want to say, how hard are we going? I'll just match you.
Well, I'm not going to tell the Carlos Condit story in Afghanistan because I've told it about 20 times, but that's what happened there. The special force guys are, how hard do you want to go? And he said, I'll hit you as hard as you can. I'm telling the story. And then the guy dropped Carlos Condit and then he knocked him out. That's a quick version. But you're right. And that is the issue. And do you come across people like this in the gym and they go a little bit hard and then they say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't go light. I can only go with one force. And I think, well, number one, that's because you've got no control over what you're doing. You're not obviously skilled at all. Because anyone that says, oh, I can only go hard, I've only got one tempo, one power, that is bullshit, or they're not in control. The first rule of martial arts, control over power. You've got to be in control of your weapons. I can have a place bar with Lucas or Callum, and you just tip tapping. Anyone that hits you full bore and then goes, oh, sorry, you know, it's just the way I spar, they're just being a dickhead.
Yeah, it's just an excuse to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I don't know how to go light. Okay, tough guy. You're not that fucking good.
Me neither.
Just calm down. Yeah. Every once in a while, like, you know, I'm with the team or something and the coaches will be really pushing speed. Sometimes you'll mismanage your distance or you'll be closer than you think you are, or you're really trying to get there super fast and there's a little bit more on it than you anticipated. But then you can just, you know, like, so there's, that happens amongst high level guys where you're like, oh shit, my bad. You know, you glove tap them real quick. Like, oh, sorry about that. Or you'll go to throw really fast and then they'll step in and they change the distance and it hits harder than you expect. That's one thing. But the guys that are just throwing overhands and hooks, and I would love to beat the shit out of every single one of those guys.
Well, are you ready for an amazing segue?
Yeah.
From one guy that can throw massive overhand wild rights, that might maybe learning to get a little bit more control and finesse in the boxing world. I am talking about Francis Ngannou. He has enlisted the help of one Iron Mike Tyson for his upcoming bout against Tyson Fury. Harrington, if you want to jump on and give us some details, because I see a link there, but I haven't clicked it. But do you know what? That's actually a really, really smart move of Francis Ngannou. We know he's not going to learn enough about boxing to be able to compete with Tyson Fury. But I think if he develops the correct strategy to where he can harness the maximum potential of his knockout power, then you never know. And going and having someone like Mike Tyson that was all about cutting off the ring, getting you in the corner, and then just unloading with bombs, that's not a bad idea. It's not a bad way to go.
No, I think it's great. It's way better than the alternative of trying to get some super clean technical boxing coach that's going to, you know, try to get him throwing 9-punch combinations. And I think bringing in someone like Mike Tyson, who's an expert at finding ways to land big shots and shut people off, I think that's perfect, because Mike wasn't like a super he wasn't a tactician, you know, he wasn't the cleanest boxer in the world, but he was uber aggressive. He did a great job of cutting people off and hitting those short, small angles on the inside to land those big shots. I agree with you. I think that's a great idea. And just bringing the mind of Mike Tyson in there, because there's a mental approach to that type of a fight too. Like, I think as fighters, sometimes we go through these internal battles. There's a lot of times where I'll see a fight happening in my head that I'm going to be in. And I need to sometimes check that and turn it off and realize, like, okay, as much as I want to fight like that, that's not who I am. That's not my style. And you have to accept who you are. And I'm sure Francis wants to go in there and he wants to be technical and a cleaner type of technician. But having a guy like Mike in your ear will remind you what you do well and what got you to the dance.
Yeah, there's no way he could technically compete with Tyson Fury, but he could knock him out. You know what I mean? I think he's just going to have the approach, go for broke in the first three rounds, empty the gas tank. And if I'm exhausted, well, so be it, because that's the only way you're going to win. You know, talking to Mike Tyson, you know what randomly pops in my head every now and again. And I only kind of found this out somewhat recently. I think I saw a clip of a podcast. He had a daughter that passed away.
He did.
I know. It's bloody awful. And I saw a clip on a podcast and someone was like, well, how do you recover from that? And he's like, I haven't recovered. I've never recovered. She was, it was an accident on a treadmill, wasn't it?
Treadmill,
she was like 3 years old. My God. Yeah. I know that's a depressing segue, but.
I seen that fairly recently too. Like within the last year, I learned that.
I mean, that is, no wonder the guy's out there smoking fucking weed. Because he goes hard on those. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised because how do you come back from something like that, man? It's just bloody insane. Yeah, happened in 2009. She was 4 years old, poor girl.
Yeah, that's well, and I think it was like the safety cord or something like that. She got hung up in or something. But, it was. I seen the same interview though. It's fucking awful. It's awful. Yeah. I remember, it's funny you bring that up because I remember seeing it and I thought immediately, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Like why he is the way he is. Because I can tell you now, like if something like that happened to me, my life would be in shambles because it's got to turn on that I don't give a fuck switch. Like once something like that terrible happens to you, like who gives a fuck? Just do whatever you got to do to get through the next day, whether that's partying, drugs, alcohol, whatever it takes to just get it out of your head. I get it. Like it made a lot of sense. And it made me, I suppose, cause you know, Mike's got gotten a lot of shit for the things that he's kind of done and been through, but like I immediately gave him a pass. Like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
I mean, the man's got a lot of demons. I mean, talk about someone that had a tough upbringing and then, you know, to achieve what he did and all the, you know, the hangers on and all the rest of it, and then to experience something like that. That's crazy. Check this out. This is staying on a very sombering tone.
Yeah.
But I want to, you know, you like to ride a razor, don't you? You like to drive a razor, ride a razor.
Drive, yeah.
Ellie, my daughter, one of her very good friends, very, very good friends, just passed away. She was 20 years old on a razor, had an accident. Smashed into a tree. Yeah, passed away and hit a tree and went into cardiac arrest. 20 bloody years old. Unbelievable, mate. So be careful on those razors, you guys and girls. And rest in peace, Maddie. I mean, so and we were just saying, me and Rebecca were saying, that's it. Your life's over. Your life's not for me. There's no coming back. I mean, I guess if you've got other children, which I do and you do, I mean, you've got to try and hold it together for their sake.
Right.
But I mean, how nothing else matters.
Yeah,
when something like that happens, I mean, I don't think I could hold it together. I'd like to think I could, but.
No, no way. That I guess we're just going to stay in the sombering tone. Not that it turned out to be a nothing, like ended in a nothing, but I was in practice on Wednesday and stuck around after practice and talking to coach and walking through some things or whatever. I grabbed my phone and Michaela sent me a text and said, I'm in the children's hospital with the baby. She fell out of the shopping cart. And I was like, oh fuck, you know, like freaked out. But even in that moment, I like your brain immediately goes to like the worst possible scenario. And I ended up being okay, but she was in the big part of the cart. My wife turned to grab something to put it in the cart and she just crawled over and just dove head first. She got this huge knot on her fucking head, but she didn't lose consciousness. No concussion, just a really nasty, huge knot on her head.
Oh, bless.
But then I start going, but same thing, like that could have went way worse, you know? She could have fallen more face first and snapped her neck or whatever.
Oh, for sure.
I was like, oh my God, that could have, you know, so my wife is like apologizing. I'm like, listen, don't apologize. Let's just make sure we don't have that happen again.
Well,
because we got very lucky.
the reason I'm smiling is because I'm going to segue into a similar story, but it's a bit more stupid. It's me being stupid. And I told this years ago on the podcast, but I don't think I've told you. We used to have this dog called Sam. He was an absolute psycho. And when Callum was like 2.5 years old, we were down the river, Eddisford River in Clitheroe. And, you know, we're playing on the park and the river's probably, I don't know, 100 meters away. And we're playing on the park and we had Ellie, who was a newborn baby, in like the pushchair. right?
Yeah.
And we're doing something, and we look around, and Callum is just sprinting towards the river. And when you get to the riverbank, there's like a kind of a fall to the river. Yeah. And we're like, oh, shit. And I'm like, because I've got the pram and I've got the dog. So I'm like, Rebecca, get him. And she's doing a stupid little run, you know, and I'm like, for fuck's sake, you're not going to catch him in time. So I don't know why I did this. I took the dog lead, right, and I wrap it around the pushchair so the dog can't get away. And then I go sprinting after Callum full speed. Well, what happens? Sam, the dog, comes sprinting after me. Falls on the side, and he's being dragged along the fucking thing. So we got Callum running towards the river, the newborn baby in a pushchair on his back being dragged by a fucking dog, maximum speed. Rebecca's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm trying to save Callum. She goes, well, why would you wrap the fucking dog around the pushchair? Anyway, there you go. There you go. Should we talk about some mixed martial arts or something funny? Harrington, tell us, give us, I don't know, give us something. Give us something.
Oh, I was thinking, you know, we were just talking about Mike Tyson, baddest man on the planet. Makes sense to transition to the BMF. Justin Gaethje might have changed his tune. He said he posted a tweet, quote tweeting Conor McGregor saying that he would knock out Gaethje in one punch. He said, sign the contract, big boy. McGregor later in the day posted a signed picture of himself and said, sign.
Well, there's nothing signed because there's no contract, but he means mentally he would sign it. I mean,
I told you.
What'd you tell me?
I told you. Excuse me. You said, no, Justin Gaethje wants the title and he would never, you know, he's not going to go off and do some Conor McGregor bullshit. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Sounded like a negotiation tactic. The best way to say that you want to fight is to pretend you don't want to fight.
Yeah, because I saw him the other day. I said, if you offered me a championship fight or $10 million, I'll probably take the $10 million. I think that's what he said, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's not going to happen. Michael Chandler. I mean, what is Michael Chandler saying throughout all of this? The man.
He is tearing his house apart.
Yeah, yeah. Like
every single time he gets on his phone.
He's done a season of The Ultimate Fighter. He's been promotional gold. He's doing everything he needs to. He's showing up on time. He's training his fighters. They're winning all the fights. And all the rest. And at the end of it, the cherry, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow with the fight with Conor McGregor. Well, he's not even back in the testing pool yet. Now he's on about fighting Justin Gaethje, calling out everyone under the sun. And poor old Michael Chandler, who I love and admire very, very much, is sitting there going, what the hell?
And every day that goes by, he is 6 months away from fighting.
Yeah.
Like every single day, he's like, that's the worst part. It's like, it's one thing if he was in the pool and you're just waiting on the date. Like if he gets in today, he's not eligible for 6 months. If he gets in next Monday, that's 6 months from next Monday. Like
that's February next year.
Yeah, that's no paycheck. That's no fight. That's no. Michael Chandler's not the youngest guy in the world either.
No, he's not. He's 37, I believe.
So, if I was Michael Chandler, I'd probably be the most dangerous man in the world because I bet he's just freaking out on everybody, screaming and hollering. I bet there'd be holes all over my walls. I'd be pissed.
I think the fight with Michael Chandler is still going to pan out. I really hope. I think the UFC, given the promotion, given the Ultimate Fighter, they need to cap off the season like they normally do.
You
got to
finish that.
Yeah, yeah, you do. You got to put a bow under it, so to speak. And not only that, the fight itself, Chandler and McGregor, that'll be fireworks.
I wonder if Conor just doesn't care. Like, because from what I understand,
do you think he cares? Does he fuck?
Well, no, but I think initially they, from what I heard, this is, of course, this is all speculation, but I heard that Michael Chandler was the second, was the second option for the Ultimate Fighter, that the first option was actually Nate Diaz. And once they got it, even this is after he left the UFC, before this whole Jake Paul bullshit, that it was supposed to be Nate. And when they got to the finish line, Nate didn't come to the table. And then they were getting ready to start filming. So they just had to do Michael Chandler. I don't know that to be true. This is what I heard, but I wonder if it's just Conor was excited for the Nate Diaz thing. And then you know, it's like Michael Chandler. Okay, we need someone in there who gives a shit about Chandler. Because Chandler's not an easy fight for Conor.
Chandler's not an easy fight for anyone. anyone in the lightweight division. Look at that fight with Justin Gaethje. Look at that fight with Dustin Poirier. Sure, granted, he lost by a rear naked choke, but it was
competitive right up to the very last second.
And Chandler, God bless him, he's such a professional. He is such a professional. He's working out every day. You know, if you compare both of their social medias, which I haven't done in quite some time, and I don't go to their pages, but it does pop up. You got Chandler. He's doing kettlebell swings. He's doing one-handed plyometrics. He's doing push-ups, headstand push-ups. You know what I mean? He's doing somersaults off something. Yeah. You know, he's having nothing but protein shakes and the leanest turkey and getting all your fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm.
You know what I wonder about?
On the Lambo yacht, drinking champagne and whiskey, going, fuck off.
Lots of nose beers.
I know which one I'd rather be doing. Give me the McGregor lifestyle any day of the week.
I always find myself wondering about this about Michael Chandler, because he is such a professional. He's such a nice guy. He's been nothing but kind to me. Every time you're around, he reminds me of like Brian Stan a little bit. Like you find yourself like trying to be a better person when he's around.
Yeah,
but sometimes I wonder, like, are you like this all the time, or like, do you get behind closed doors with your buddies and I don't know, smashing beers off your head and chugging them? Like, what does it look like when Michael Chandler like lets loose a little bit?
Oh,
like, is he a little bit of a maniac?
Well, there's demons there. There is.
There's got to be. There's got to be, right?
In all of us. Right, in all of us, I remember.
Yeah, but we admit ours. We just throw our bullshit right out here for everyone.
Yeah, we talk about him every week. I'm like, this is what an idiot I am. I'm not going to believe what I did at the weekend. My God, no, I was talking to Mick Maynard. I wasn't going to say his name, but screw it, it's not a bad thing. I'm going to say he's talking to Mick Maynard, and he was telling me. He said, "Oh, you've all got something wrong with you." Talking about fighters. He said, when I speak to you, when we're negotiating contracts or whatever the case may be, he said, every single one of you has got a screw loose in a very particular way. He said, you're not all the same. You know what I mean? You're not all crazy the same way. He said, but in some definition of it, you're all batshit crazy in one way or the other. Do you know what I mean? And one of us might be a loudmouth and or whatever. One guy might be a weird, quiet psycho, but will stick a knife in you. The women are just as crazy as well, he said. And Michael Chandler, for as wholesome as he is, and he is one of the most wholesome people, you guarantee, you get sitting down with a psychiatrist, you know what I mean? You start peeling away the layers of the onion. Oh, love you, Chandler, by the way.
I want to see it. I think that's what it is. Like, I just want to see Michael Chandler's crazy a little bit. I just want to see it.
He's the nicest guy ever.
That in the nicest way. Like,
it's bullshit. He's a psycho.
No,
Chandler. Don't be giving me none of that shit.
It's in there somewhere, but I want to fucking see it. In a good way. Like, let's close all the doors. We'll shut the bar down. Well, just let it out.
Well, that's what makes you a great fighter, because that's what Michael Chandler is. I mean, when he said, when he first signed, he said, I'm here for a long time. No, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. And that's another thing about the McGregor situation. As you said, I think he's 37, if I'm not mistaken. So he doesn't have too much time to waste. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Certainly, you don't want to spend a year. I mean, what's it been since when he fought? It was Madison Square Garden, right? Was that his last fight? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it would have been. No, no.
No, it was Dustin Poirier. Yeah, Madison Square Garden last November.
Last November, yeah.
So it's coming up close to a year. It's like 9-10 months. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. At that age, you don't want to waste it, especially now. Michael Chandler's star is bigger than it's ever been. All right, breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from the waist to the face to help you replace the bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. And they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally, tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use the code BISPINK20 for 20% off. Listen, this kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It all starts with the Beard Hedger, the juggernaut of fixing faces. It's got 20 different lengths. It's waterproof. No more having a drawer full of extra add-ons. It's all there. You just turn the little wheel and the length will adjust. It's got a titanium-coated T-blade, which is tough on hair. hair, but smooth on your face. And it's also much more than a trimmer. It comes with four dermatology-tested formulations for your post-trim care. It has the beard shampoo and the conditioner, because all beard hair is different. Some is more coarse, some is easier to manage. That's why the kit has shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize and reduce ingrown hairs. Also, it comes with the beard oil, and you get the beard balm, and there's also the three free gifts. You get a beard brush, the comb, and the scissors to ensure that your beard is ready to impress. So get all of that with 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com. Use the code BISPING20, manscaped.com, BISPING20 for 20% off and free shipping. You will not regret that purchase, let me tell you. Should we, Harrington, give us a story, buddy? In fact, give us a non-MMA.
Okay, fact, well, how about
I'll
this?
You, what one are you going to say?
I was going to do one that you sent over, the New York man who is suing Taco Bell for false advertisement.
Well, we were going to do this. I was going to do this okay. If we were in the room together. That was the idea, because I was going to get some chicken sandwiches and stuff. We were going to do a little sample tasting act, and we were going to look. These aren't the thing. But come on, seeing as you brought it up, go on, Harrington.
Yeah, exactly that. So a New York man showed the image promoting the Taco Bell Mexican pizza shows that the bean and beef layer is about this thick. Well, he showed in pictures it's about that thick. So it's about half of what they are advertising the thing to be. So he is starting a class action lawsuit against Taco Bell for false advertising.
And that's your is that the maids?
I don't know who that is. Someone's beating on my door. Hold on.
3 days later.
So the Taco Bell situation, Anthony, I know this is your favorite fast food outlet.
It is.
How do you feel about this being besmirched?
I think that people are stupid. That's what I think, Mike. You don't go to Taco Bell. You don't even go to Taco Bell expecting to get real food. Like, I'm not sure that Taco Bell is actual food, but it's goddamn delicious.
Hey.
Well, you see, there was a thing the other day, too, that someone got a shit ton of money from McDonald's for chicken nuggets because they were so hot they burned her mouth, and she sued McDonald's or something. Like, people are idiots.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
No, to be fair, I can't disagree with your logic, because you're right. I think when you succumb, for want of a better word, we all love a bit of fast food, you know what I mean? But, yeah, you're not expecting fine dining. You're not expecting gourmet cuisine. You know, it is what it is. And I'm sure that person had Taco Bell before. But hey, if they found a way to game the system and they're going to sue them and they're going to get a ton of money off a massive corporation, then also can't hate on that either.
Yeah, good for I don't feel bad for Taco Bell. You know what I don't like? I hate when fast food places try to get too fancy. Like, don't church it up, Dirt. This is bullshit. Don't church it up. This is bullshit fast food that's bad for everybody. Like, you don't try to get all fancy with your, I don't know. I don't like it. Just,
but you see that with bullshit. McDonald's, don't you? Because McDonald's have now the healthy menu, which no one gives a damn about. No one's going to McDonald's and getting a pack of apple slices do you know what I mean? The fruit cup. You know what I mean? If you're going to McDonald's, I want a Big Mac, or I want a quarter pounder with cheese, or I want a double cheeseburger. Oh, I'm starving, man.
I'm hungry too.
I'm starving. I went
they
down to
have
level
some food down there.
Level two, they have some. No, level four, they got tons of great food for the UFC staff. I just went down and got a chocolate croissant before. I'm nipping down there, buddy. I'm nipping down there.
On the fourth floor, huh?
Fourth floor.
Okay.
Just real quick before we move on, what's the movie? He goes into it's not McDonald's, it's a thing of McDonald's. And, oh no, what was I going to say? He wants breakfast. Mm-hmm. But breakfast has stopped. It's like 1 minute past the breakfast time. And then they give him a burger, and he gets the burger. He goes, what the hell is that? The same thing as the lawsuit. He's like, that, look at the picture of the burger on display. And look at that. And then in the end, he ends up shooting up the McDonald's.
I don't know.
Have you never seen that?
No, what is it?
Falling Down with Michael Douglas.
No, I've never seen it.
Harrington O'Brien, I'll throw it to the panel. Have you guys seen Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
It's
I've
a
for
classic
sure seen
film
that scene
that I'm aware of, but I've never actually seen it because it seems pretty gruesome.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's about just a guy going about his normal day. It starts off, he's in the LA traffic, and he's stuck in traffic, and it's boiling hot. And in the end, he just gets out the car and says, fuck it. You know what I mean? And he's walking along and he ends up in some ghetto neighborhood, and then some punks like try and rob him. And then he goes into a store to buy something, and like there are assholes in the store. And then he goes into the bloody, the fast food joint, and then just life, all these little bits and bats. And right. Just fucking, it's just too
much. He loses his mind.
Complete fucking mental breakdown. And, you know, ends up, I don't know, probably killing a bunch of people. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
All right.
So what have we got left? Mr. Beast is suing, and we're not going to get into that. Harrington, what have we got to get to in the MMA world? Well, about McGregor and Gaethje, yeah, I think the Chandler fight will happen, just to give some closure on that one. The World MMA Awards. Does anyone care about the World MMA Awards?
Does anyone care about the nominees for World's Best Analyst?
Yeah, but
does anybody care about that? Does anybody care?
Well, welcome to step into my office. Me and you are head to head. Me and you are head to head. They're all going to go vote for you. Every believer is going to vote for you just to do my head in, so you can.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because that's what I hope happens. Because you won it like the last 10 years or something.
I've won it quite a lot, but I'll be honest. Every time, and this makes me look bad, but every time I see Analyst of the Year.
Yeah.
Just bring up Hamilton. Just bring up, who's the personality of the year? I'm not in the personality of the year. I think we've got Laura Sanko. Lovely girl. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't get a sniff at personality. We got Joe Rogan.
I think we need. Oh, yeah. It's Joe Rogan. Chael was in there in 2013.
The nominees, though. The nominees this year for analyst. Analyst of the Year is me, you, I don't know, Dominic Cruz.
I don't think you should be an Analyst of the Year. I think they need a whole separate category for like commentators and then analysts.
Yeah. Well, because this is what
I think you're in the wrong category. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it's my category, bro.
It is.
It's my ass.
It is.
I tell you what else. I've got another bone to pick.
Okay.
Best programming.
I was fucking upset about that.
The Anakin Florian podcast get a shout out. They get right. A nomination. We get, what do we get? We get nothing. We're standing there holding our dicks.
How is the BYM not on the nominees for programming when both of us are nominated for best analyst? How's that possible?
That's a great point.
That's impossible. So we're the
best analysts. We do a show together. We sprinkle a little bit of lightheartedness and entertainment. We give some laughs. We almost get two shows done guaranteed every week throughout history. Okay, kiss my ass. But our show doesn't make the cut. You know why? And it's a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy. It
has to be.
Brian's Conspiracy Corner.
It's the next episode. Why ESPN hates us.
No, it's not ESPN. It's the World MMA Awards, which is Fighters On. It's because I don't go. And I don't put on a little dicky bow.
You don't go?
I don't go.
We have to go.
No.
We're fucking going this year, Michael.
I've boycotted it for years.
Dude, if
you win it every year. Why are you boycotting it?
I never go. I went one time and I told them all to kiss it. I was hammered because they give me upset of the year when I knocked out Luke Rockhold. And when I'm like, fucking upset of the year, that's a backhanded compliment if ever I heard one.
It's like most improved.
Yeah, exactly. What's that? Upset of the year. I was joking, by the way.
I'll make a deal. If they nominate BYM next year, Brian and I will show up in the Dumb and Dumber tuxedos.
Well, I'll make a deal. To be fair, that'd be like that.
That sounds
that,
fun.
That would be incredible.
Ironically, I already own them.
Perfect.
Do you really, Brian?
Yeah, for Halloween, me and my buddy went around one day. One year.
Can I just say, you're looking very healthy today.
Hey, thanks. I slept and took a shower. I gotta go outside my house right after this show, so I decided I'd clean up a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You're looking good dashing and handsome. You're looking sounding healthy. You've got a smile on your face. Good to see. How much time you got left, Anthony? Not too much.
Not too much. Just a few minutes.
Just a few minutes. All right. So, what should we do then? What should we finish?
Hey, did you? This probably. I don't even know if you give a shit about this. Did you talk to Kennedy and Zetchukwu?
Go on, I did, yes. yesterday, who's fighting Dustin Jacoby, your boy.
Yeah, yeah. I sat down with Safe last night a little bit downstairs and chit-chatted. He has such a just an interesting view on kind of the sport and
Safe
all that.
Saud, 47-man head coach, everyone, by the way. He's brilliant.
Super. Yeah, he's an incredible dude, you know, which is weird because I'm sure people think that's weird because I'm fighting one of his guys. And obviously we fought already and had our little tiff in the cage. But that was just that we talked about Rob Font, Sandhagen, Andrade Suarez. And then I don't know. I thought we'd maybe talk about that one a little bit. I think it's an interesting fight.
No, I really do. I mean, Dustin Jacoby is I love watching that guy fight. I mean, last time out, who was it? Azamat Mirzakhanov? Is that who it was last time?
Yeah. I think that was his last fight.
He was undefeated. He was really short, but he was a guy to watch. But other than that, and then he got kind of robbed against Khalil Rountree. I don't know why I'm focusing on the losses, but prior to that, he was on a hell of a run, like six or something like that, maybe six in a row. Kickboxing is absolutely phenomenal. If I'm Kennedy and Zechiku, I'm just running takedowns all day long.
Yeah. He's got a cool story though, doesn't he? Kennedy? He took care of his mom for a long time. He was like her primary caretaker.
Yeah.
Even though he's fighting my friend, I think that getting that story out there is pretty cool though. Just him. And I think she recently passed not that long ago.
Oh God.
Which is kind of shitty, but he just seems like a really cool guy, like a really nice. You know, I don't know why we're focusing on all the nice guys today, but
we like nice guys. And we're talking about a lot of death on this episode, so this is the perfect place for it. Not that we would ever make light of that. But as you say, he is a lovely guy, and he's got a very calming influence. He walked into the fighter meetings yesterday, and he's a nasty bastard inside the octagon, but he's very measured. He's very big, by the way.
He's a big son of a bitch.
He's a big son of a bitch, but he's very softly spoken, you know, and he came in a jazzy, what can only be described as a jazzy, somewhat African-influenced kind of tracksuit. You know what I mean? The type of thing that Francis Ngannou's rocking everywhere. You know what I mean?
I think I'm gonna wear one of those my next one.
I want one.
Me too. They look so fucking cool.
Yeah, I don't think I'd pull it off. Certainly, I mean, I've got a tan right now. It doesn't look like it. I look like Casper the Friendly Ghost. But you know, talking to mothers and fathers, sadly, last year, Anthony, your mother sadly passed away.
Yeah, just over a year ago.
No, my word, I'm so sorry.
Maybe that's why I find myself, you know, always rooting for it. This is why it kind of sucks because Dustin's obviously one of my closest friends, main training partners. You know, that guy, him and I have been through the trenches together for years. But it's like, man, you can't not like Kennedy. And especially, I think that's a lot of it is just, you know, him taking care of his mom.
Of course.
And, you know, fighting for money to take care of her. And that's how he ended up here. And I just think the whole story is fucking cool. And I don't know. I'm going to talk about it today on the Wayne Show for sure.
Well, it is very cool. And it's always beautiful when you hear fighters' reasons why they do it, you know.
Yeah.
But I was laying in bed this morning and I'm on the other side of the world and my mom, she's getting on. God bless her. Hope you're well. Kathleen Bisping. And I thought, I'm going to give her a call, you know. So I give her a call. No answer. She can't walk. She's by herself. She's looking at the phone and she's just I can't be bothered right now. So I think, right, I'll call my old man. I'll call my dad, Jan. I call him. No answer either. I'm like, for fuck's sake. Even my mum and dad don't want to talk to me.
did Mike call you? Yeah, he called. I don't want to talk to him.
Every day this asshole calls me. Won't leave me alone. Anyway, should we do questions without you then, Anthony, I guess?
I got five minutes.
Let's do five minutes.
I want to do a couple questions. I like questions. It's my favorite part of the show.
All right, let's do it. So, Brian, as you know, or Harrington, send your questions into bwaynepod@gmail.com if you have any, please.
And if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM30, get a 30-day free trial to the network. Check that out, over 20 great shows.
And by the way, for Monday's episode, we do have Tom Aspinall locked in. We also have Chito Vera locked in. So we've got two good guests next week for Mondays, and we'll have a couple of good ones for Thursday as well. Brian McKay at B McKay is right. What do we have today?
Hey guys, sorry, we're a little bare for pickings today, but I got one.
What is going on, believers?
What is happening?
I got a few. I'll tell you what they were after the show, but not
suitable.
They're not suitable or intelligible. This one is from a pretty lady named Deja, though.
I had a few questions. First one is about fight purses. I know that Pereira, the guy who was supposed to fight Wonder Boy, he missed weight, so he had to forfeit 20% of his purse. But I was wondering, do you have to forfeit more once you reach a certain amount over when you miss weight? Like, for instance, Hamza missed a shit ton of weight, so did he have to forfeit more than 20%? Second question, I need to get my kid a mouthpiece. Hers is wearing out, and I've been seeing a lot of videos about people getting really fucked up by wearing a shitty mouthpiece, and the last thing I want is my daughter's teeth to get knocked out. So if you could give me some good brand name recommendations, I'd appreciate it. And then the third one is for Brian, regarding the cryptocurrency conspiracy. I'm still trying to wrap my head around all that, because one day I would like to get into it. It seems lucrative. I was just wondering, is the motive behind killing off the crypto billionaires to tank the crypto economy because the billionaires are not spending, so it's stagnant? I don't really know. Maybe that's a stupid question. Sorry. But love you guys. Can't wait for you to do a live show that is on the West Coast, because my broadcast would love to visit you guys. Bye.
Aww. She might be my favorite believer.
Why is that?
I don't know. She's got a really good. Man. She's got a good presence to her. She delivers the question well. Do you know what I mean? She's very nice on the eye. You know,
like, she's not bad to look at.
The light catches her face just well. The questions are well thought out.
They're a good question.
Real quick on the mouthpiece. Number one, you should not be. Your daughter should not be even in a position to be concerned about getting her teeth knocked out. You know what I mean?
It's true.
You know, yes, I would just, I mean, you just a little boil and bite mouthpiece. I don't think you need to go to any extreme lengths, because at that age, I don't know how old she is, but they shouldn't be going hard, Anthony. You know what I mean?
No, they shouldn't. If you can, I mean, I think always custom mouthpieces, if you can do it, is probably the best way. That's just a comfortable thing. Like, that's going to be more comfortable. But like you said, she shouldn't need a custom guard, because I don't know how old she is, but unless she's a 25-year-old girl getting ready for a UFC fight, yeah, she shouldn't be getting hit hard enough for that to matter anyways. The company that does my mouth guards is called Soldier Sports. They do a lot of football mouthpieces and stuff like that. They're nice ones. I don't know a whole lot about mouthpieces, to be honest. So.
Yeah. I mean, the ones from the dentist cost, you know, the custom ones, they cost a little bit. Yeah. I used a boil and bite just from the sports store, the first one I found, all the way through my UFC, up until I signed for the UFC. And in fact, I remember the finale, as they call it, of the Ultimate Fighter season 3. I didn't have a mouthpiece. So we were in the Lucky Penny. The Lucky Penny is like the little restaurant in the old Hard Rock Hotel.
Yeah,
I was in there about 45 minutes before my fight, asking for hot water, boiling
my
mouthpiece. And everyone's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I don't have a mouthpiece. So anyway, there you go. Worked for me. It worked for me. It can work for your daughter.
It worked for your daughter.
What was the first question? Oh, about the weight miss. I believe it depends on the commission. I think if you miss, you miss. Am I correct there, Anthony? Sometimes
I think some commissions are 20. Well, he didn't fight, so he didn't get anything. But had he fought, I think that some commissions are just 20% across the board. But I think you get into 3-4 pounds over, then I've seen the UFC bump it to 30 for the big weight misses. So I've never seen it higher than that. You know, on the regional scene, I've seen guys take 40 or 50. But at the highest level, I haven't seen above 30.
Yeah, no,
and I don't know what happened with Khamzat, because he ended up not even fighting the same opponent and ended up being in a different weight class. I know Kevin Holland got paid as shit to take that fight.
Did he really?
Yeah, sounds like it. Oh, sounds good. Like a whole new restructured deal. Sounds like he's doing well.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. No, well, I hope so, because he should be. You know, talking of which, though, obviously that fight with Pereira and Wonderboy fell through. Now, Wonderboy's saying that he would like to fight Ian Garry. Did you see that?
Yeah. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, well, don't say anything that might get in trouble.
Well, Ian Garry.
Talking about behind the scenes stuff.
Well, isn't Ian Garry? I'm not going to say it.
he's got an opponent, right?
Yeah.
Ian Garry. Yeah, he has an opponent.
Yeah.
It rhymes with Fleth Beal.
Yeah. He's definitely fighting Jeff Neal.
Yeah, he's fighting Jeff Neal. That's announced.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's hard. It's tough because
we're like, we're too involved sometimes. Well, we hear some things. I'm like, I don't know if that's announced.
Is it announced? I think it is.
The fight is announced for sure. I do know that. Thank God.
Fleth Beal. Yeah. No, because sometimes I've been told, you know what I mean? I've accidentally once or twice let some things slip, and I would never mean to do that because it's not my place to say those things. So I always try and tread very, very carefully. And then what was the final part of the question? So we had, the cryptocurrency. Well, if there's crypto billionaires that have a ton of that currency, obviously if they're dead, then they can't access that fund. So it's like if they had X amount of dollars on the market and then a massive, massive percentage of it is just eradicated and they don't print more off, which is what they do. Do you know what I mean? Then obviously the currency is not going to be as circulated quite as much.
I think the Brian's whole conspiracy part of it was the second part of that was the U.S. government at some point in time wants to completely control like the money system and like the centralized banking, and everything is going to go digital and they'll be able to track where you're spending your money and all that stuff. But with this crypto stuff, it's completely you can't track it, you can't trace it, you can't control it at all. So you get these people that end up crazy powerful because they have so much crypto, which turns into having so much money that they can't really control that or manage it or whatever. So that they just kill those people off, then that money just disappears and those guys got nothing.
Yeah. Well, you see a bunch of countries are they're ditching the US dollar. China, Brazil. South Africa, I think there's a bunch of us. I think they have a name for it. I forgot what it is now.
Yeah,
you gotta go.
I do. I still gotta cut my hair. I gotta shave. I gotta shower all in 25 minutes.
Do you know what I'm gonna tell you? I reckon if you didn't cut your hair, no one could tell.
Probably not. I probably get away with
it. You can get away with it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, shorter one on Friday, so we apologize for that, but we will be back on Monday with Anthony, with Tom Aspinall, with Chido Vera. Enjoy your weekends. We'll see you soon.